Imagine an artist who can just effortlessly pivot, making you roar with laughter one minute with some, you know, perfectly crafted sketch character, then bringing a whole theater to its feet with stand-up, and then completely shifting gears moves you really deeply by just openly sharing their most personal struggles.
Yeah.
How does one person manage all that? Master it, even, weaving comedy, drama, vulnerability, advocacy into this career that feels so coherent, so compelling.
It's quite something.
It is. Today, we're doing a deep dive into the extraordinary world of Felicity Ward. She's the acclaimed Australian comedian and actress, and her journey, well, it really is a masterclass in versatility and profound honesty.
Absolutely.
Our mission for you listening is to really unwrap her remarkable career. We want to explore every facet, you know, from those earliest comedic sparks in a small Aussie town.
Right back to the beginning.
All the way to her international triumphs on stage and screen, and her really impactful kind of fearless advocacy work.
And what stands out so powerfully, I think, with Felicity Ward's path is how she's consistently expanded her work across just this impressive range of artistic mediums.
Yeah.
She hasn't just, you know, done well in one area. She's continuously pushed the boundaries of her own craft. Mm-hmm. So throughout our chat, we'll connect the dots, look at her journey, not just focusing on what she's done, but really trying to examine how her unique approach, that blend of sharp wit and disarming vulnerability, how that resonates so powerfully with audiences all over the world.
Right.
It's really an exploration into, well, the essence of authentic artistic expression.
Absolutely. And for you, the curious learner tuning in, this isn't just a biography, is it? It's more like a valuable shortcut to understanding how an artist evolves.
Yeah.
How they masterfully blend humor with this really rare, profound honesty. So get ready for those aha moments, you know? The ones that reveal the true power of being genuinely, unequivocally yourself, even when you're in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's start right at the foundations. Her roots. Kilcare, a, well, pretty tranquil coastal town in New South Wales, Australia.
Yeah.
And it's a place that, you know, on the surface feels like a completely different world from the bustling stages and bright lights where she'd eventually end up.
World away.
That contrast between that quiet upbringing and the, frankly, fiercely competitive world of comedy, it just sparks your curiosity, doesn't it?
It really does. You have to wonder.
Does growing up somewhere like Kilcare, maybe with its slower pace, maybe a tight-knit community, does that foster a particular kind of observational skill?
Mm-hmm. A unique perspective, perhaps.
Exactly. Does it cultivate this view on the world that later becomes, you know, the fertile ground for a comedian's nuanced craft?
It's fascinating to think about.
You can almost picture her, can't you? As a young person, just honing those skills, noticing the little quirks of local life.
The small town characters.
Yeah. The idiosyncrasies. Finding humor in everyday stuff that maybe others just miss. It's an intriguing thought how those quiet beginnings might shape a voice destined for such a, well, such a public and impactful career.
That initial environment, it must have contributed somehow. Wow. Her keen eye for detail, maybe. Finding the universal in the specific.
Definitely.
It's a compelling point about those early environments. For so many artists, you know, that quiet observation becomes the bedrock. And for Felicity Ward, that leap from Kilcare into the public eye, its first big outlet was sketch comedy, specifically the Ronnie Johns Half Hour.
Ah, yes, the Logie-nominated show.
That's the one, Channel 10. It was a real crucible, a foundational training ground that first brought her significant public attention, both as a writer and a performer.
And she was part of a troupe, right? The Third Degree.
Exactly. Being part of a comedy troupe like that, creating and starring together, it's invaluable experience. It's intense, demanding. Mm-hmm. You need rapid character development. You're creating whole personas, backstories, arcs, often super quickly.
Right. Timing, too, must be crucial.
Impeccable timing. Not just for punchlines, but physical comedy, character reactions, and collaborative writing. That's a really demanding art. Pitching, refining, sometimes cutting ideas ruthlessly, all for the sketch.
It's like a pressure cooker?
It absolutely is. But it doesn't just teach skills. It forges this adaptable, quick-thinking, comedic mind. You learn to inhabit characters, understand rhythm implicitly, work as a team, all under pressure to create fresh stuff.
Yeah.
It refines every fundamental skill a comedian needs, maybe faster than stand-up alone could.
And what really set her apart, even back then, was just the sheer range of characters she created on Ronnie John's. It was astonishing.
Oh, Geffel.
We're not talking subtle shifts. She brought everything to life, from like a mischievous 6-year-old Poppy.
With that innocent but cutting observation.
Right. To this deeply philosophical, utterly cynical German nihilist, Gretchen. Hilariously absurd.
Gretchen was fantastic.
And then there was Heidi, the quirky, often exasperated lawn bowls instructor. Very Australian suburban.
So specific yet relatable.
And it wasn't just about voices or costumes, was it? It was about projecting distinct personalities, each with their own comedic angle.
Internalizing them.
Exactly. Pivoting from innocent child to cynical philosopher to eccentric sports nut, all in a fast-paced sketch show that showed incredible versatility early on.
A real mastery of character work, understanding human foibles.
Absolutely. So these early TV successes where she showed off those diverse comedic muscles, they were pivotal. They didn't just introduce her, they announced her arrival as this multi-talented force. Definitely set the stage for broader recognition.
Indeed, that early character work, it was more than just showing off talent, it was strategic. By showing such range early, she avoided being pigeonholed, you know, which happens a lot in comedy.
That's a great point. Keeps options open.
Exactly. That versatility was critical. It let her move seamlessly into other TV formats and importantly build this public persona that audiences found engaging and, well, surprising. She wasn't just the funny person from one type of sketch. She could be many funny people.
And that definitely laid the groundwork for her becoming such a familiar face on Australian TV. After Ronnie John's, she cemented her place with multiple appearances on ABC's Spicks and Specks. Super popular show.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
And she wasn't just a one-off guest. She was a recurring panelist until 2011. Quick-witted banter, musical challenges.
Great platform for that.
Beyond that, she was on other primetime staples, real cornerstones of Aussie comedy like Thank God You're Here.
Brilliant improv show.
And Good News Week. These shows weren't just about performing her material. They showcased her improv skills, her rapid-fire wit, reacting in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Different kind of pressure.
Totally. Primetime platforms cementing her as a recognizable talent, reaching a wide audience across the country. It was more than just laughs. It was building a comedic brand, a persona people connected with. That clever, often self-deprecating humor.
Right.
And just to underscore her versatility, she even hosted the Comedy Hour on 774 ABC Melbourne.
Ah, yeah, moving into hosting.
Which is a totally different skill set, right? Yeah. Steering a show, interviewing guests, managing segments. It showed her abilities as a broadcaster, a curator of comedy, really broadened her appeal.
Building on that versatile foundation then, her involvement in shows like Chopper's Fucking Bingo.
Yes.
It's a brilliant example of her collaborative genius.
With Heath Franklin as Chopper.
Exactly. From 2006 to 2009, performing alongside him, he's this iconic, menacing, but hilarious character, and Felicity playing his ball girl, and notably, his drug addict niece, Jenny.
Jenny, yeah.
That wasn't just a sidekick role. It demanded a very specific, refined comedic muscle.
How so?
Well, that kind of partnership, you need to be incredibly present, support the main act, react authentically in character. And this is key, cleverly steal moments without overshadowing the main dynamic.
Ah, okay. A delicate balance.
Very delicate. Selfless support, but also astute timing. And that show was hugely successful. Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney. Even the Christmas special.
Chopper's Fucking Christmas Bingo, yeah.
That experience undoubtedly sharpened her dramatic and comedic chops. Playing a character like Jenny with that specific dynamic with Chopper required nuance.
Mm-hmm. Character building, audience empathy.
Exactly. It's foundational. It prepares you for solo work by refining reactive timing, stage presence, crafting characters within an existing world. It taught her how to be indispensable in a duo but still stand out. Powerful lesson.
And it seems like those collaborative efforts where she consistently shone really did pave the way for her move into the solo spotlight, which was quite bold.
Mm.
In 2008, she took that big leap, debuted her first full-length solo stand-up show at the Melbourne Fringe Festival.
A major step.
And the show, with that provocative title, Felicity Wars Ugly as a Child Variety Show, it just landed with incredible force. Announced her as a solo talent to watch.
Immediate impact.
Yeah. Popular acclaim, critical praise right away, and it culminated in her winning the Melbourne Airport Award for Best Newcomer.
That's huge. Best Newcomer at Melbourne Fringe.
It's a massive validation, isn't it? More than just a trophy. It's the critics, the industry, saying, this artist has a unique voice, real potential.
Absolutely. A major signal.
So that show, it was her first big solo statement. proving she could command a stage entirely on her own terms, connect directly, profoundly with an audience.
And the reception to Ugly as a Child variety show was, like you said, phenomenal. But what really solidifies its impact is how quickly that recognition went international.
Right. It toured pretty extensively soon after.
Yeah. 2009, Adelaide Fringe, Melbourne International Comedy Festival, MICF, Sydney Comedy Festival, and crucially, the Edinburgh Festival Fringe.
The big one.
The big one. And produced by Laughingstock Productions, it wasn't just a casual tour. It was a commercial and critical hit, selling out shows everywhere it went.
Selling out everywhere. That's a clear sign.
Undeniable audience demand.
Yeah.
Shows a comedic voice with broad, universal appeal, connecting beyond just local humor. And the awards kept coming. Nominated for Best Newcomer at MICF 2009, another big deal. And then winning Mervyn Stutter's Spirit of the Fringe Award at Edinburgh.
Wow, Edinburgh too.
Yeah, and you have to understand, Edinburgh Fringe is like the Olympics of comedy.
Yeah.
Thousands of performers from everywhere, all vying for attention.
Intense competition.
Incredibly intense.
Right.
Winning an award there isn't just local success, it's a global endorsement. It signals this profound resonance, catapults you onto the world stage.
So it really solidified her status internationally.
Absolutely. Not just a rising Aussie star, but a genuine international talent, captivating diverse audiences.
What's really remarkable then is after that huge debut, she didn't just, you know, stick to the winning formula.
No, she started experimenting almost immediately.
Right. She showed this drive to evolve her style. September 2009, Melbourne Fringe again, she unveils Felicity Ward Reads from The Book of Moron.
Different kind of show.
Totally. Not straightforward stand-up. It was this fascinating hybrid storytelling stand-up woven together with music.
Mm-hmm. More complex.
And she toured that innovative show in 2010 Adelaide Fringe, Brisbane Comedy Festival, back to MICF.
Taking risks.
Yeah. That choice to diversify her style so early signals an artist who isn't just chasing applause, but actively pushing boundaries, exploring different ways to engage, blending elements to craft something unique, personal.
And that creative experimentation kept yielding results, which leads to her 2011 show, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Critically acclaimed.
Right, another big hit. Sellout crowds, cementing that reputation for sustained excellence.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, really racked up the awards. Best local act at the Time Out Sydney Comedy Festival Awards 2011.
Significant accolade.
Very. Named in the Sydney Morning Herald's top 10 comedy shows for the year. Stellar 4-star reviews everywhere.
Plus, she became the face of MICF that year.
She did. Testament to her standing, her broad appeal in Australia, and her international reach kept expanding dramatically, too.
Where did Honestly tour?
Hong Kong, Singapore with the MICF Roadshow, New Zealand with the Comedy Convoy.
Mm-hmm.
Captivating crowds.
Wow, really covering ground.
And even amidst all that, she still found time for another distinct show. Felicity Ward's week-long, ill-timed Christmas special back at Melbourne Fringe in late 2011.
Relentless.
It just cements that reputation, doesn't it? Relentless versatility, creative curiosity, tireless work ethic, constantly creating, performing, connecting.
Definitely.
This consistent success leads us right to her 2012 show, The Hedgehog Dilemma, which wasn't just another successful show. It really proved her enduring quality, her ability to consistently produce top-tier work year after year.
The Hedgehog Dilemma. Interesting concept. Intimacy, bringing connection, but also pain, like Hedgehog.
Exactly, that idea. Yeah. And it resonated deeply. Sellout seasons again, nominated for Best Comedy at Adelaide Fringe and MICF.
More nominations.
And wins, too. Best Australian Act at both Sydney and Perth Comedy Festivals. Unequivocally reinforcing her position as a major force in Australian comedy.
Did Hedgehog go international, too?
It did. Invited to Edinburgh Fringe, then a successful short run at the Soho Theatre in London.
Soho Theatre, nice.
And this continued international presence, plus performances at Latitude Festival in 14, 16, 19, and her 2018 show Busting a Nut, getting nominated for Best Show at Edinburgh.
Another Edinburgh nomination.
It paints this picture, doesn't it?
Hmm.
An artist who isn't fleeting. She's continually evolving, high level, constantly refining her craft, pushing themes, staying relevant globally, sustaining that engagement over years.
Yeah, definitely not a one-hit wonder.
Not at all. And this relentless pursuit, this innovation, it naturally set the stage for her to diversify even further, moving confidently beyond stand-up into film and TV roles.
Yeah, that transition from stand-up to acting in film and TV, it's a fascinating chapter for any performer.
Different skill set.
And for Felicity, it was really impactful. Showed that versatility extends beyond her own material, a different kind of performance discipline.
Right, interpreting a script, working with a director.
Exactly. In 2012, she had that well-received supporting role, Emily, in the Aussie comedy. Any questions for Ben?
Working Dog Productions, yeah. No, for smart comedies.
Good platform. Then 2014, she's Lizzie in The Inbetweeners 2, which was a massive hit globally.
Huge audience for that one.
And these roles, even supporting ones, were significant. Proved her acting chops in a different medium, adapting timing, character immersion to fit a director's vision, a script.
Mm-hmm. Moving from direct address stand-up to collaborative scripted film.
It's a testament to her ability to adapt, deliver nuanced performances, broadened her repertoire, introduced her to totally new audiences, maybe unfamiliar with her stand-up.
It really is captivating, watching her adaptability across so many different media. Her TV roles, especially, showcase that range.
Beyond the sketch work, yeah.
Absolutely. She's been in such varied series, like the crime comedy Sleuth 101, the quirky ensemble in The Librarians, the dark comedy Laid.
Diverse roles.
And her comedic timing shown in shows like Josh and Ronnie Ching, international student, holding her own with other sharp talents.
But not just comedy, right?
No, exactly. She showed nuanced capacity for more dramatic or layered roles, too. Critically acclaimed series like The Letdown, Game Face, Late Night MASH, the intense drama Wakefield.
Wow.
Even The Mind of Herbert Clunkerdunk.
Wow, quite the list.
These aren't just one-offs. It shows this consistent ability to embody different characters, adapt to tones, contribute effectively to ensembles.
And those UK guest spots, too.
Yeah, high-profile spots as herself, Roast Battle on Comedy Central in 2019.
Fiery.
Definitely. And Richard Osman's House of Games on the BBC in 2023. That signals growing recognition, appeal in a very competitive international market.
Requires quick wit in those panel settings.
Absolutely. Underscores her broad skill set, her ability to connect in various formats. It's a strategic, organic expansion of her career.
And building on that versatility, her acting career hits this really significant milestone now with her lead role as Hannah Howard in The Office, the new Australian version.
Ah, yes. Huge news.
Starting in 2024, this isn't just a guest spot. It's a central main role across 8 episodes, right at the forefront of a major production.
That's a massive testament to her acting prowess, her appeal, being entrusted with a pivotal role in a franchise known globally.
Huge legacy, built-in audience. It's a new level of recognition for her as an actress, demands sustained performance, deep character work.
Definitely.
And beyond the screen, she's also expanded into audio, right? Guest hosting on The Bugle.
The satirical comedy podcast.
Yes, Daria. Yeah.
Huge international following. It showcases another facet, sharp comedic commentary, insightful intelligence in a totally different medium.
So this multifaceted approach, balancing lead TV roles, ongoing stand-up, podcasts, it really demonstrates that remarkable versatility, strategic career building, and just expansive reach.
She really does. And this successful diversification across so many forms raises that profound question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What enables an artist to transition so adeptly from sketch to personal stand-up to film acting, lead TV roles, podcasts?
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly more than just raw talent. It speaks to this deep adaptability, a willingness to constantly evolve her craft, and crucially, an inherent authenticity that just resonates regardless of the medium.
Yeah, that authenticity seems key.
Her ability to embody characters, deliver sharp punchlines and nuanced drama, engage audiences across platforms, It points to this broad, integrated skill set. She doesn't just perform, she transforms and connects. That's why her appeal is so wide-ranging, so enduring.
And that professional versatility seems intrinsically matched by her personal openness, her advocacy. Adds another rich layer.
Absolutely.
And speaking of her personal life, the grounding elements, it's worth mentioning her marriage to Chris Sava.
Mm-hmm.
Often private, but it represents that personal milestone, maybe a stable foundation amidst such a dynamic career.
Which must be important with all the travel and demands.
Exactly. Offers respite, support, maybe even inspiration. A reminder that these outward careers are supported by an inner world.
And when we connect that personal thread to the bigger picture, Felicity Ward's willingness to speak so openly about mental health, it transforms personal experience into powerful public advocacy.
She's been very vocal about anxiety.
Commendably so. An active, passionate advocate for mental health awareness in Australia. And it wasn't just statements. She delved deep into anxiety, depression, insomnia in her BBC Radio 4 series episodes.
Right, using her platform for that.
And that level of transparency, candid sharing, it's invaluable. It normalizes discussions around often stigmatized issues, offers comfort, validation, understanding to so many people maybe facing similar challenges silently.
Mm-hmm.
And that honesty, it's not just advocacy, it deeply informs her comedy, adds layers of poignant depth, universal relatability, often bittersweet truth.
Makes the connection stronger.
Exactly. By sharing vulnerability, she creates this stronger, more empathetic bond, proving that true connection often comes from sharing our authentic selves, even the difficult parts. It's empathy disguised as entertainment.
And digging even deeper into that vulnerability, her talking about irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, incorporating it into her 2015 show, What If There's No Toilet?
Just the title alone.
Right. It immediately signals this brave, vulnerable, deeply personal comedy. It takes immense courage, artistic conviction to take something so private, often taboo, challenging, and turn it into material that connects, entertains, and makes people feel seen, understood.
Finds the shared humanity in discomfort.
Absolutely. Yeah. Takes an experience many find embarrassing, strips away the stigma, crafts it into something relatable, finding humor. It's not just brave, it's generous, authentic. Breaking down barriers, reminding us struggles can become sources of connection, laughter.
A masterclass in turning challenge into empathy.
Totally.
And her journey of self-discovery, it continues to unfold publicly, honestly. Raising that important question about identity being lifelong, not concluding at a certain age.
You mean her describing herself as a late bisexual?
Exactly. Recognizing same-sex attraction in her 40s. Her candidness about this personal aspect, it enriches her authentic persona, adds another layer of representation, relatability.
Challenges assumptions.
Powerfully. In a society that often assumes identity, especially sexual orientation, is fixed early on, her openness challenges that. Shows self-understanding can evolve, deepen over time, regardless of age.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of revelation contributes significantly to her unique voice, deepens that connection with her audience. Especially those who might relate to similar experiences of evolving identity later in life.
Right. Another example of using her platform for understanding.
Genuine connection. Representation through sharing her own evolving humanity as richness and ever-expanding perspective to her art.
So as we bring this deep dive towards a close, what are the profound takeaways from Felicity Ward's extraordinary world?
Mm-hmm.
We've traced this remarkable path, haven't we? From quiet field care through explosive sketch comedy, global stand-up recognition, accomplished acting, fearless advocacy.
Quite a journey.
We've seen her constantly push boundaries, evolve from hybrid stand-up to leading a major global TV show, always bringing that distinct blend of sharp wit, incisive observation, and disarming honesty.
And connecting all those threads, yeah. Looking at the bigger picture, her career is just this truly powerful example of how vulnerability and unwavering authenticity can profoundly amplify artistic impact.
Yeah.
She doesn't just entertain, she connects, educates, inspires through that honesty and masterful craft. Her willingness to share not just brilliant comedy, but also personal struggles,
right.
Anxiety, IBS, self-discovery, creates this unusually strong empathetic bond.
Mm-hmm. Find strength and openness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Powerfully demonstrating that genuine connection, lasting resonance, stem from revealing our full, complex, often beautifully unvarnished selves.
Which leaves us, and you the listener, with this important kind of thought-provoking question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In an era that's so often dominated by curated images, perfect public personas,
mm-hmm.
What profound lessons can we take from an artist like Felicity Ward?
Mm-hmm.
She consistently brings her full, unvarnished self to her work, invites us to find humor, humanity, connection in every facet of life, the awkward, the challenging, the joyous.
So how can her example inspire us?
Exactly. How can it inspire us to embrace our own authentic expressions, to find the courage to share our true selves, maybe in our work or creative lives or just our everyday interactions? Something to think about.